Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Are you ready to get into the Word? Can we have a good time in church? At the end of our service today, this is Benevolence Offering Day. We take care of our folks here at the church. And when there's a need, we like to be a first responder. And so we have a benevolence account. We ask people to just give a little extra. And as you give extra, that will help us meet needs of our own congregation. Yeah, I haven't forgotten you. And make sure today as you leave, if you can put anything in, $5, dollar, whatever, change, it all goes to a good cause so we can help continue to minister to our people. So thank you for that as you leave today. Also, please, we have about five more on the angel tree out there that we try to help children that may not have a Christmas or much of a Christmas without some gifts. And so if you would like to take one of those little angels and sponsor a child, please feel free to do so. There's about five of them left there. Okay. All right. How are we doing today? Okay. The rest of you I'm going to work on. Get ready. Also, tickets. If you need to get tickets, you can get tickets for the gift this week at our information desk. You can get them today. Also, there's food that needs to be provided for the cast on Saturday. So if you can help with that, please contact the church office. There is no church service this Sunday, and the weather outside is partly cloudy. Sports, I'm going all over the place with this, okay? Okay. Now let me get on with doing what I think I'm supposed to do today, and that is share with you a word that the Lord has spoken to me. And usually when he speaks to me, he speaks to the congregation through me, if I will allow that. One other announcement. Wednesday, I will meet with those of you who have said you'll be altar counselors, or if you'd like to be altar counselors during the gift production, 6:30 Wednesday, my office right over here. We'll meet briefly. Okay. All right. We're in the message of joy, part two. And remember how I shared with you how a friend of mine called me last week and said that God woke them up at 3 a.m. in the morning with the subject of joy. You remember that? Say yes. And the word, he said joy, actually, he said the Lord was speaking to him that joy meant Jesus opens you. And I thought about that and been meditating on that, and I was preparing this message last week, the message of beginning the series on joy, and I thought about that, and I thought, there's really a lot to that. And we just sang a song, which I love, and we're going to sing it every week for the month of December while the subject of joy is going on, about joy. And we sing about joy being deep down in my soul. And then we say, it starts off with, there's beauty in my brokenness. And that really captured my attention. There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got real joy instead of pain. There's freedom, though you've captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning. There's beauty in my brokenness. Say that with me. There's beauty in my brokenness. You may not know what brokenness is, but brokenness is a thing that is necessary. Jesus was broken. In fact, when you go to the communion table, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, I've given you my body. My body is broken for you. Even though there was not a bone of his that was broken, he was broken of his own will. He was broken of his own will to do the Father's will. And you and I will experience brokenness to where we have to learn to not do everything that we want to do. And sometimes God will call us to do things that we at first don't want to do it. Can I get a witness? And then because we know the Lord's dealing with us, we'll go through a process of brokenness to where we'll finally submit to the Father's will. And out of that brokenness will come joy. Would you do me a big favor real quick? If you've got a mirror, take it out and look at your face. Give me a little joy. How about a smile? Okay, I've come to give you some medicine this morning that's going to be good for you. Okay? There's beauty in my brokenness. Brokenness is a process. You know, a week before Jesus went to the cross, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, she came and she brought an alabaster box full of pure spikenard, or very expensive ointment, oil. And she brought it and she broke that box open and anointed Jesus. And she did it. We don't know the process of her getting there, but this is probably an heirloom. This was probably her inheritance. This might have been passed down from generation to generation from her grandparents or great-grandparents. It might have been in the family alone because it was very, very costly. And she got to a place in her life, maybe she struggled with before that. Maybe the Spirit of the Lord dealt with her about, you need to give this as a sacrifice. You need to break this heirloom open. Instead of saving it and keeping it or selling it, you need to break it open and you need to anoint Jesus. And she might have told one or two friends, and they said, that's a waste of money. Don't do that. That's expensive stuff. Or you ought to do this with that, or you ought to do that. But the Spirit of the Lord kept pressing on her and pressing on her and leading her that she needs to anoint Jesus with this costly ointment. And she finally comes to the process where she yields to the will of God. And she does exactly that. We don't know all the process that she went through. This was probably the greatest treasure in her family. And so she finally surrenders to God, and she does something that a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people questioned. A lot of people spoke about her. And then one gospel says, it's in all four gospels, this account. One gospel says, when she broke open the alabaster box and she took the anointing oil out, the fragrance filled the whole house. And this is recorded in the Bible, four Gospels. God liked it so much, he said, I want everybody to read this one. It's in there four times. She broke this, and this was beautiful in God's eyes. Something in her was broken that she would give the most greatest thing, treasure she had in her family, and give it to Jesus. There's beauty in my brokenness. Say those words with me. There really is. And joy is a result of brokenness. Did you know that? When you finally yield to the will of God, when you finally surrender and do what God is leading you to do, impressing upon you to do, maybe you're a little afraid because you're not real sure, but you believe to the best of your ability that God wants you to do this. He wants you to go bless somebody. He wants you to give this. He wants you to step out and take this act or whatever it is that you do. And the result of brokenness to your will and surrendering to God's will is nothing more than joy, Jesus opening you. You're open. You got to stay open to God, because God's ways are not our ways. He does some things that we don't understand, and he'll call you to do some things that don't make any sense at first. Can I get a witness from anybody who's ever taken a risk in their life and done something that you believe God wanted you to do? God doesn't break you. You voluntarily break yourself. God doesn't open you. You open yourself. He gives you an opportunity. You open yourself to God. Are you with me? Yes. This is what we're talking about. And the Bible says that the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. Everybody say filled. When God comes to a place, he expects to fill it. When God wants to do something, he expects to fill it. When God comes into a place, he plans to fill it with himself. In the Old Testament, when Solomon dedicated this temple to God that he was to build, the Bible says that it was so powerful of a moment that the priest could not continue to minister because of the glory of the Lord. What did it do? Say it louder. It. At Pentecost, the sound of the wind from heaven filled the whole house. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. I'm telling you, when God comes into a place, He intends to fill it with Himself. Are you listening, church? When you got saved, God came into your life. You asked the Lord, come in, save me, be my Savior, be my Lord, be my God. I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that I'm forgiven. And you got saved because God came into your life. But it's like, this is like Jesus coming into your house and He knocks on the door. You hear the knock through the preacher. You hear the knock through the Holy Spirit. You hear the knock through the scriptures and you say yes to Jesus. And at that moment, you open your life up and Jesus steps right into the door and He comes into the foyer. Now what? Okay. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're here. Good. Now, come on in to the dining room. Come on in over here to the kitchen. Yeah, come over here into the office. Yeah, come over here into the patio in the back. Yeah, what's back over there? Well, those are some rooms, but we won't want to go in there right now. But I'd like to go in there. No. Some other time. It's not ready for you yet, Jesus. He wants to fill the whole house. He wants His presence to fill your house. So much so that everybody who will ever see you, anybody who will ever talk to you, anybody who ever come into contact with you, anybody who ever does business deals with you, anybody you ever buy anything from, they will know you have been with Jesus. He wants to fill every part of your life. Some way, somehow, they can tell His presence is with you all the way. Peter and John, the Lord used them to heal a lame man at the beggar's gate there in Jerusalem. And then they got confronted by the religious officials who was totally offended by a man getting healed. Can you imagine that? Man gets healed. And they're upset about it because it was on the Sabbath day and they're all frustrated and everything. And they come to Peter and John and they confront them. They said, by whose power and whose authority have you done this? And they knew already. Peter, with boldness, just stood up and said, well, you know, it's the guy that you guys crucified 10 days ago. Yeah, by His name and by His power and the authority of His name, this man is healed. It's the same one that you ought to call on and get saved yourself. And they looked at the boldness and the confidence of Peter and John. They could tell they weren't very educated by their language. They could tell they weren't very, you know, educated and formally and things like that. The Bible said they were ignorant, without knowledge, unlearned. They didn't have any formal education. But one thing they did know, and one thing everybody ought to know about you, if you're born from above, they have been with Jesus. That's a high compliment. Nobody cares how much you know. Have you been with Jesus? It ought to show up. Thank you for that rousing amount of support. It ought to show up in your life. I'm telling you, people ought to know that we've been with Jesus. Doesn't mean we go do everything right. We've got everything all together. It doesn't mean we don't have problems. But somehow, some way, it ought to be communicated that people recognize we've been with Jesus. Not because of religious talk, but because of His character, His spirit coming out of us in some way. And so we have to learn that God is taking each of us right now, whether you know it or not, through a process of brokenness. Where you will learn to let go, where you'll learn to relax, where you'll learn to surrender to His will in your life so He can accomplish His plans for your life through your life. When you're submitted, when you're settled, when you're surrendered, when you're more occupied with God than you are concerned about what people think about you, you'll finally come to a place of brokenness. And you'll be willing to take some risk. Here's Peter and John. And so these officials and these educated Pharisees, they look at them and they thought, what is it about these guys? They were very confident. They were at peace. They were settled. They were bold. They were taking a risk. Those are the characteristics of people who've been with Jesus. You know, here's the thing about the Lord. Jesus will never force his way on you. You've got to yield. You've got to be willing to take a step. In fact, you've got to be willing to take the first step. The Bible says that if you'll draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. He's waiting today for somebody to take a step. Take a risk. Take a move. Take the initiative. If you'll move toward him, he'll move toward you. After Jesus was crucified, buried, and then he was resurrected. He was resurrected on the Feast of First Fruits because he's the first fruit. 40 days later, he ascends into heaven. And he said before he ascended into heaven, he told all the disciples this. He said, now you don't run off into the world and think you're ready to do ministry. Listen to me. You go into Jerusalem and you wait for the promise of the Father. Everybody say, wait for the promise of the Father. These are his last words. These are important words. He said, now you go and you wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. Say it one more time. Do you think they remembered that? I mean, last words are important. One part of the Bible in Corinthians says over 500 people saw resurrected Jesus at one time. 500. Now, we don't know for sure because Scripture is not really, really clear that 500 people saw him ascend. But I would imagine that my guess is they probably were 500 people, at least, that saw him ascend into the clouds. And even if I'm wrong, even if there weren't 500 people that saw him ascend, do you not think that people who heard his last words saying, now wait for the promise of the Father in Jerusalem, wait till you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Do you think that his last words were not spoken throughout all of Jerusalem? Even if you weren't present, you would have said, well, what did he say? What did he say? And people would have said, well, his last words were to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And I don't know if you know this or not, but people talk. They spread rumors. They gossip. They talk. And this is a good gossip. What did Jesus have to say? What were his last words? And I'm asking you, what would you say if you were there? And some of you are going to sit there and look at me like a bump on the log. Come on. You saw Jesus ascended. You saw him. And he said these words. He said, now wait for the promise of the Father. Now, when I ask you this time, act like it's the first time. Now, what are you going to say to me if I wasn't there? And I said, well, what did he have to say? Thank you. That's what he said? Okay, well, how long? How long was, and what's the promise? What is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? He said we're going to be baptized with the fire and the Spirit. What's that going to look like? Are you with me? What are we going to do? You know, people are very, very fickle. If you didn't know that, write that down. I'll tell you a little secret about human beings. They're very, very fickle. I mean, one moment they can be on fire for God, and a week later they just don't have any gas at all. You ever seen that? I mean, it's just humans, I guess, got to grow, and we all have to mature. We all have our times. It reminds me of a story. My mom told me this story about a man who was talking to his sweetheart over the phone, and he said to her, honey, I love you so much. He said, I would fight off a pride of lions to be with you tonight. She said, oh, that just thrills my heart. And he said, I mean it. He said, I am so much in love with you. I'd give anything to be with you tonight. I would fight off a 100 terrorists pointing guns at me. And she said, oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet. And then she says, well, when am I going to see you? He says, I'll see you tomorrow at church if it don't rain. People are fickle. People's zeal comes and goes. Mine has too. The joy of life with God can elude you if you don't go into a deeper fellowship with Him. You know what the goal of God is now that you have Jesus in your life and you got your name written in heaven, you got your reservation there? God wants you to go deeper with Him than you've ever gone before. You say, well, what does that look like? I'm not sure. For you. Just like the people on the day wondering about Pentecost. What's it going to look like? I mean, what's going to happen with this baptism? And so what did they do? They said, okay, Jesus said to wait. So, we're going to wait. And so we wait. They gathered together in this upper room. What did they do? We don't know. Maybe they worshiped. Maybe they sang songs. Maybe they read Old Testament scriptures. Maybe they just went back over everything that Jesus had taught them. We don't know. But here they are. They're in this upper room. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. They're waiting. Where's the promise of the Father? He said we would be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Where is it? And then one guy says, you know, I got crops in the field. I got to go tend to those crops. I just can't sit around here in church every day. I don't think God intends for me to do that. He leaves. Another guy says, well, you know, I've got a job and I've used up all my leave time, but now I can't continue to stay here. I don't think God expects me just to stay here and just wait. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Surely God understands. I'll lose my job. 6, 7, 8 days. Well, how long, God? Where's the promise of the Father? And all you have is a promise. You don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to you. You don't know how does this work in my life? What's this going to look like to wait for the promise of the Father? It's a promise. The Father promised it. We know it's true. We don't understand it. We can't comprehend it. We don't even know actually how to apply it all to our life. We don't know what it's going to look like when it comes to pass. We don't know if it's going to be this week or 1,000 years from now. Are you understanding how they may be feeling? So, when I say to you, one thing I know for sure God is doing in your life and in my life is that He's taking us on a path to brokenness. You say, well, what's that going to look like? I can't tell you what's going to look like in your life. I have to discover what's going to look like in my life. Can I get a witness? But mark it down. When God gives you a promise, hallelujah, He expects us to pursue Him with that promise and increase our awareness of His presence in our life. All I have is a promise to wait for the promise of the Father. He's going to baptize me with the Holy Spirit and with power. I wait. And as I'm waiting on that promise. I'm believing that promise. I'm speaking that promise. I'm waiting for the promise of the Father. Not knowing what it's going to look like. And many of the disciples held on to that experience, held on to that promise. And to do that, you have to have one thing. Joy. Not joy the way the world describes it. Giddiness, you know, goofiness, whatever. Joy means Jesus opens you. You got to be open. You got to be open. They had to be open to God. Only you can answer these questions that I'm about to give you that I think are the most important questions that anybody could ever ask anybody. Two most important questions are this. What is the Lord saying to you? And what has the Lord been saying to you? Because usually it's a process you can take time to go back and look over and say, oh, now I see. Now I see. Now I think He was showing me this. He was showing me that. And it takes time. It takes time to discover the answer to that. I can't answer that for you. That's the most important question you can answer for your life. And the Lord knows sometimes it takes time for us to figure out what the Lord is saying to you, because probably most of you are saying right now, I wish I knew. I don't know what the Lord's saying to me. I don't know what He's been saying to me. Well, maybe you need to take some time off. Maybe 9 days will be good. I don't know why God, in His mercy, had them wait. I know the timing of the feast, and I know Pentecost and the feast and all of that, but I'm saying that God had them wait. Sometimes God will have you wait where it doesn't seem like any sense at all that you need to be waiting. Sometimes your flesh will get riled up. It's like, I got to be doing something. Are you with me? And so this is important. You need to hear, what is the Lord saying to you? Don't ask me what He's been saying to you. You ask Him. And then get you a little 50-cent notebook from Dollar Tree and a pen and keep it with you. And write down things as they come, thoughts as they come. Everything that happens in your life, ladies and gentlemen, once you're born from above, everything that happens in your life is very significant. Preacher, thank you. Amen. I'm telling you the facts. Everything that happens in your life is significant. Everything. Every detail. You'll be going down the road and you'll hear a song on the radio and there'll be one word or a phrase in it that you know, it just catches you. It captures you. There's something to that. You may not know all the depth of it at that moment, but you need to write it down. Because it may come together with something else. You're watching a television show at night, and someone, one of the characters, just says something, or a scene just does something, and it captures your attention so that it's something you don't forget so easily. Guess what? The Holy Spirit has highlighted that with a marker because He's trying to talk to you through this, and 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 through this. And you're rushing through life and all you care about is making a paycheck and getting the house paid off and going to retirement or doing something else. And your mind is occupied on something else and God's trying to talk to you and that's why you can't hear Him. Bible says pay attention to God. Bible says wisdom is crying out in the streets day and night. He's calling us. Little insignificant things. People will look at you and say, you say, well, I know God's talking to me through this man or this person or this incident. And you say, no, He ain't. That's just your imagination. God uses your imagination to help you pay attention. Last week, I had a water pipe break at our house, and it was outside the house. And I noticed, because our water bill was about three times what it normally was, I said, uh-oh, we got a problem. And I went outside and where I'd had a problem a long time ago, got a shovel and started digging it up. And I come to this place where I see all kinds of pipes, and there's copper, and then there's PVC, and there's just, I mean, it's, and I see the leak. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I think this might be more complicated than me just fixing a pipe. This might be, you know, a need for a plumber or whatever. And so, actually it happened on Saturday night before Sunday. By the way, that's when stuff happens to preachers. It's always Saturday night, if you didn't. And trying to steal your joy, you know. So I couldn't fix it. It was too dark, and I couldn't mess with it then. And then so Sunday after church, I went home, and I dug all this stuff up, and I looked at that, and I was a little, really scared to, if I cut open this pipe, man, I'd turn off the water. I could have a mess. I could make things worse. I don't know. So, you know, I dug this hole, and I'm sitting there in this hole, and I'm just talking, and I wait, and I go, Lord, You are genius. You know everything. I mean, there's nothing You don't know. You know how to fix this. Would You help me? And I sat there and I waited and I waited and I waited and I studied the pipes and what was this and what was that. And I took a picture of it with my phone and I went down to the hardware store and there was a guy there. He was really handy with plumbing. I told him what I was trying to do, showed him pictures. And I said, is this too complicated for a guy like me? I'm not a plumber. And he said, no, you can do this. You don't know me very well. Me and plumbing don't get along. He said, no, you can do this. You can do it. You can do it. And he started explaining to me this and this, showed me the parts I needed and all this kind of stuff, you know. So I bought all the parts and I went back and went down there and I sat down there and talked to the Lord some more. I studied it with him. I said, well, what do you think about this? And you know, one thing after another, he showed me in my mind a very simple way to do it that I would not have thought of or nobody would have told me. I cut that pipe here, cut that, and cut all these other mess things out and put everything, made it real simple. Put it back in. Went in house and laid down and took my Sunday afternoon nap. Hour, 2 hours later, I come out there, turn that water on, and guess what? Hallelujah. I was rejoicing. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Little insignificant things God is involved in. He'll show you how to fix things. He'll show you how to deal with it. I'm telling you, little things. God's involved. He's talking to you. What has God been saying? Now, what was God saying to me through this? He was whispering to me what I had heard actually before through somebody else. I'll tell you in a little bit. It was like the Holy Spirit saying, when I was saying, I don't think I can do this, the Holy Spirit was saying, oh, yes, you can. No, I can't do this. Oh, yes, you can. And through that, that's what I was learning from this. And here I am preaching on Sunday morning telling you about a water break in my yard. Because God was involved in it. Now, I got way off track here, so help me get back, Lord, okay? Back at Pentecost, if you were to ask, and there was only 120 people, by the way, at Pentecost, you know that. 500 people saw him ascend, and for 9 days later, for whatever reason, there's only 120 waiting in the upper room. And if you were to ask any one of those 120 people, why are you guys still waiting here in this room? What are you expecting to happen? They probably would have said something like this to you. Well, we don't understand why, and I know it doesn't make sense to you, but we believe that God is speaking to us. We believe God has told us to do this. That's why we're doing it. We don't really care what anybody else thinks. We don't really care whether anybody stays or goes or whatever. We don't concern ourselves with that. Our focus is we believe God has told us to do this. That's what you got to do. It may look silly. See, they stayed open to God. I just believe God wants me here. I'm open to God. And when you're open to God, His life flows through you. Even when you don't understand what He's doing. Jesus described it this way. This is how it's supposed to work in John 15. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Are you with me? And the word abide there means to remain in me, continue in me, wait for me, endure some things with me. He said, you'll bear much fruit. You'll bear inward fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and you'll bear outward fruit, the fruit of ministry to other people. How do we abide in Him? Very easy. Three things. There's a connection. We listen to Him and we talk to Him. Through everyday circumstances. Even if you're trying to figure out, how am I going to pay my bills with only this amount of money? Would you talk to God and listen to God? He's interested in that. He'll help you. You stay connected with Him by talking to Him and listening to Him. You keep the conversation going and then continuance. Then you obey what He tells you to do, even if it doesn't make sense. I'm going to preach to myself. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with them today, Lord, but I'll preach to myself because maybe I'm the only one that needs it. But I'm going to say, you have to continue with God, Gary. You got to continue with God. You got to obey God, whether anybody likes it or not. You got to do what you know God's telling you to do. Yes, sir. Amen. I believe that. And then you'll have confidence where you trust and rely on Him rather than your feelings. This confidence is how you stay open to God. When I trust God, what He said, when I have a promise from God and I believe that promise, I claim that promise. That's my promise. When I believe that, I become pregnant with a promise. I become pregnant. I believe something from God. His word, His seed is in me. I'm pregnant with a promise. And just like a woman who gets pregnant with a baby, she may know the approximate time. Well, it's going to be this month, and they project a certain date when the baby's going to be born and all that. But the truth is, she doesn't know for sure if that baby's going to be born on that date. She knows a general time, has a general idea. When the angel visited Mary, and he tells her she's going to be pregnant. Mary, you're going to be pregnant with a promise from God. You're going to call His name Jesus. How can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. I don't understand. How can this be? And then the angel leaves her with these immortal words ringing in her ears, and God recorded it for us to see. And He says these words, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Are you with me? Listen, God's probably told you some things that you say, "How can this be? I've got a promise that I'm pregnant with, been pregnant, Pam, and I've been pregnant with it for a long time. And it hasn't come to pass yet, but we're still pregnant with it. And it doesn't look possible. I don't see any way. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Would you just say that out loud and encourage my heart? I believe you. I believe you. I believe you mean that. And I believe it myself. Actually, the word "nothing" is three Greek words put together. It's very interesting. Three Greek words together, and an impossible means, of course, without ability. So when you translate this phrase, so interesting to me, when you translate this phrase, the angel said to Mary, who was pregnant, and she said, "I don't know, how can this be?" This is what it's actually saying. No word from God will come without its own ability to be able to perform it. Hallelujah. When God gives you a promise, He also puts inside that promise the grace, the power, the ability to make it come to pass in your life. All you have to do is believe it, speak it, and to declare it, and believe that it's so. Your job's not to understand when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, what's it going to look like. That's none of your business. All you have is a promise, and either you're pregnant with a promise from God, or you've aborted a promise from God. Every word from God that He gives, He puts grace in that word. That's how it'll come about. How He spoke it, that's how. I believe Him more than I believe my flesh. I believe Him more than I believe my circumstances. I'm pregnant with a promise, and if I'm pregnant with a promise, He's also supplied me with the grace to be able to do it. Hallelujah. When God gives you a promise, hidden inside that promise, hidden inside that word, is the grace that you need to do what He requires. The very life of God is called the Zoe. The Zoe of God, His life, is contained in that word that He's spoken to you. When God spoke to me through the Holy Spirit over a silly thing like a water pipe, and I'm saying, "I can't do this," and I hear a man with salty language at the hardware talking, and he says to me, "Oh, yes, you can." I heard the Holy Spirit say to me on the inside of me, "Oh, yes, you can." Are you listening? That's how God talks to you. So what does Mary do? Mary has a promise from God that has never, ever happened before to anybody. What does Mary have to do? She has to stay open to God. Jesus opens you. I'm telling you, it's a redefinition of joy. Jesus opened Mary to receive an incredible promise. And she had joy because she simply stayed open to God and all the various possibilities of what He could do. Mary had joy. Would you say that's true? What did that joy look like? Well, every pregnant woman that I've ever seen that is with child, they're more alive when they're pregnant than they are without a baby. It's like there's just something about having a child. They're made to do this. They're made to have a child. There's joy. They have joy inside. It's joy. And she had joy because she'd heard from God. And she didn't understand it, but she kept herself open to God. And she says, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. Is that open or closed? That's wide open. That'd be a good thing for you to say today. You come to the altar and just say, I'm the handmaid. I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. And be it unto me according to your word. I'm wide open, God, to whatever you want to do the rest of my life, starting now. That'd be a good thing. I'm just saying that to you as a little hint. So what did that look like? She started doing what David said we need to do. She started delighting herself in the Lord. Now, wait a minute. She's got a promise from God. She's going to be pregnant. She's not married. There are going to be people talking about her. There are going to be rumors spread about her. Her family's not even going to believe in her. And for a while, Joseph's not even going to believe in her. She's got this promise from God. That's all she's got. And she's going to be misunderstood. She's going to be persecuted. So what has she got to do? She's got to learn to do what you and I have to learn to do. Sometimes when you feel like there's nobody who understands you, nobody believes in what you're telling them, you've heard from God, but you've got to do this. You've got to do what David said. You've got to get along with God. You've got to push everybody else aside. Push your family aside. Push your kids aside. Push your friends aside. Push what the world's telling you aside. And you say, I've got a word from God. That's all that matters. I'm pregnant with a promise. I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. That's what David says, Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself. Be merry. Make sport of. Have fun with. Enjoy. Take pleasure in. Delighting yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37, verse 4. Have you ever done that? What does that look like? It's different for different people. You should see me when I'm delighting myself in the Lord. I'm usually walking around the backyard. It's my prayer area. I walk around. I got this path. I just walk around the backyard, you know, over and over. I'm talking to God. I'm singing to God. I'm worshiping God. I'm pushing aside the cares of the world. I got problems. I got issues to deal with. I got people to deal with. I got all kinds of... I'm pushing it aside. I'm getting it out of the way. And I'm focusing on Him. I'm delighting myself in the Lord. I'm singing love songs to Him. I'm praising Him. I'm worshiping Him. I'm getting my joy back. I've got myself open to God because I know anything is possible. Can I get a witness from anybody who's ever had to do that? Because sometimes life can crowd you in and come after you, and the devil is relentless, giving you one issue after another and another and another and another and another and another. And you got to say, get out of my way. I was created to worship Him. I'm created to love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, my neighbor, myself. I'm going to do that first. That's my priority. I'm delighting myself in the Lord. Have you ever enjoyed God so much that you sing love songs to Him? Do you? Even if you can't sing, you know, God really loves it if you mean it from the heart and you sing to Him. Can I have an honest person in the house talk to me? That you actually sing a lot to God, but you just don't want to sing out loud in public because you maybe don't like your voice? Can I get a witness from somebody? I hear you. Well, delighting yourself in the Lord, one of the parts of that is learning how to enjoy God. Enjoy Him. Do you enjoy God? He enjoys you. He really does. He loves you. He really enjoys you. Taking pleasure in, taking delight in. He loves just watching you sometimes. Do you know He laughs at you? Laughs with you? Do you know God's got a great sense of humor? I was walking my backyard this week, and I was thinking about this message and praying and so forth. And I was thinking about delighting myself in the Lord. And so I just started delighting myself in the Lord. And a song came to me that I'd heard a long time ago. And a song came to me, and I took that song in my, while I'm walking with God, I just took that song and I just changed a couple of words, and it turned out to be a beautiful love song to God. Would you like to hear it? I need a better amen because I can't work with that one. I will spend my whole life through loving you, loving you. Winter, summer, springtime too. Loving you, loving you. Makes no difference where I go or what I do. I will spend my whole life here loving you. Now, how many of you can raise your hand and say, you know who sang that song? I will spend my whole life through loving you. Come on, sing it with me. Loving you. Winter, summer, springtime too. Get a curl on the lip. Come on. Loving you. Loving you. Makes no difference where I go or what I do. Come on, join with me. I will spend my whole life, dear, loving you. And you know what? God really liked that. I could hear Him laughing with me. He said, that's pretty good. And I enjoyed myself with God, and I sang it, and I changed some words, and I kept on praising God with it and worshiping God with it. And I said, you may be a preacher or a teacher. You may be a musician. And I struggled with that one. Or an electrician. Makes no difference where I go or what I do. I will spend my whole life here loving you. Now I want you to sing it with me. Oh, no, come, let's have some fun. Put the words up, please. Put the words up, please. There you go. No. Come on. Put a little croon in it. Have some fun with God. Now, we're going to have fun. This is practice, okay? I will spend my... Come on, it's pitiful. Come on. Come on, sound like Elvis. Come on. Oh, my. Help me, Jesus. I don't think they mean it. Makes no difference where I go or what I do. It doesn't. I will spend my whole life here loving you. And sometimes I just whistle. Makes no difference where I go, come on, or what I do. I will spend my whole life here loving Will you? Will you? Then take that and sing it to him. Make it your personal love song. He really likes it when you delight yourself in him, when you open yourself to him. There's a joy that comes in your life when you just stay open. And the Lord will lead you. Hey, do this. Hey, step out. Take a risk. Hey, try this. Do this. And I know a lot of people will say, well, you know, I just don't feel inspired to do that. You know, inspiration's way overrated. You seen the old cowboy Western movies? And they're in the saloon. And a drunk cowboy speaks to the piano player and says, hey, I want you to dance. The piano player says, I can't dance. I've got to play the piano. He said, no, I want you to dance. He says, I can't even dance. I can play the piano. He says, no, I want you to dance. And he puts out a six gun and went, bam, bam, bam. And guess what? The piano player who couldn't dance got up and he started dancing. You don't know what you can do. You don't wait for inspiration. You'll never do it. Joy, Jesus, opens you. Until you cooperate, you ain't ever going to have that joy. This week, my wife told me something that I needed to do. She said, you need to, you know, do something for somebody. And I said to her, because I didn't feel like it, I said, I can't do that. And she said, oh, yes, you can. Same words I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me back at the hardware store a week ago. Oh, yes, you can. I'm telling you, God is involved in everything in your life. And when you come across something and you say, I can't do that. I can't sing. I can't do this. I can't minister to people. I can't pray with people. I can't write this book. I can't do this. I can't do that. You're going to hear, once you finally shut up, you're going to hear the Holy Spirit say to you, either through someone else's voice or through the still small voice of God, say to you on the inside, oh, yes, you can. Say it right now so you get used to it. Oh, yes, you can. Because every promise from God, everything he's given you, and he said, nothing will be impossible for God. And God, who lives inside of you in the name Jesus, opens you up to where with you, there's no thing that's impossible for God. You can fix water pipes. You can do electricity. You can sing a song. You can dance when you don't feel like it. You can rejoice when you don't feel like it. I guess I'm preaching to myself again. Amen, preacher. That's a good word. I believe that. I believe that. The Holy Spirit will come to you in some way, whispering, oh, yes, you can. Finally, this. Whenever God gives you a word, he gives you the grace to obey or trust him for what he promises. Your part is to remain open. Nothing's impossible with God. So when you get a command from God like this, and it is a command, by the way, when you get this command, there is grace to be able to do it. Here's the command. Say it with me. You know that's a command from God? That's not a suggestion. And Paul wrote it while he was in prison. And here God says to us, and God liked what Paul wrote so much, he put it in the Bible so we would read it as his word, because he spoke it to Paul, and now Paul, through Paul, the Holy Spirit, speaking to us the same thing. I don't care what you're going through in your life. I don't care what kind of trouble you've got. I don't care what kind of bills you're facing. I don't care what the doctors told you. I don't care what you don't have in your bank account. I don't care that your family is all crazy and going to hell in a handbasket. I don't really care about that. All I do know is this. You've got one promise from God, and you're either going to be pregnant and deliver that baby, or you're going to abort it, and it all depends on what you're going to do with that right there. Oh my. What's that going to look like? I don't know what's going to look like for you. It's different for everybody. What has God been saying to you? What is God saying to you? Why would God tell us to do this? Because hidden inside those words, hidden, is a power from God, is a grace from God that He wants you to discover that you haven't discovered yet. But I don't feel like rejoicing. He didn't ask you that. Don't make Him get His six-shooter out and shoot at your feet. Just start doing it. What's that going to look like? Different for everybody. Because hidden in this promise, hidden in this word, is the strength you need to discover to finish your journey well. Are you with me? The law of God required us to do things that we could not do. We couldn't keep the law. The law of God required man to do things that he could not do. It was a schoolmaster to show us we can't do it. And then Jesus showed up full of grace and truth, and He showed us that through grace He enables us to do what we cannot do. Are you with me? He enables me to do what He requires me to do. He requires me to show up here and preach on Sunday morning when I'd rather be at the beach. Don't look at me so strange. He requires of me to be faithful to my wife when my flesh sometimes would say, no, I don't want to do that. Don't identify yourself in one of those moments, brother. Play it safe. I'm just trying to tell you that we all deal with the world and we deal with the flesh and things we don't want to do. But when we become born from above by the Spirit of God, now we have a grace, we have an ability from God to be able to carry out what He requires. Only because we stay open to Him and we keep the joy moving. Are you with me? Now, say this with me one last time. I'm done. The Holy Spirit's going to whisper this to you real soon. Oh, yes, you can. Remember that. And remember, nothing's impossible with God. Be like Mary, who was pregnant with a promise, and she started making a choice to rejoice, even though she couldn't understand. How is this going to come out? What's this going to look like? What are people going to say? Are you with me? Let's stand to our feet. Altar workers, you come up here and stand with me. Now, would you pray? Would you bow your heads? Father, I thank You. I've delivered Your word that You gave me. I know it will not return void. It will accomplish what You've sent it forth to do. I pray that You will help Your people here to take it to heart, take it seriously, to pay attention to You, to follow You, to obey You, to take the risk that You're leading some of them to take, to do the things that You've already spoken to some of them that they need to act on. Just help them, Lord, to stay open. Jesus, continue to open us up in the places where we've not been open to You. And right now, while your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, I want to ask you, would you just ask the Lord this one question? Lord, would You show me some part of my life where I have not been open to You and Your Lordship? Jesus, show me one part of my life where I've not been open to Your leading. Now, while you have a quiet moment, I'm going to be quiet, and then you listen. I would recommend to you right now that before you leave the auditorium, that you just come up to the altar. If you feel like the Lord showed you one thing, spoke to you one thing, come up to the altar and, like Mary, just pretend you're bringing your alabaster box. And just, if you can, just lay it on the altar, lay it on these steps, and just have a moment of worship to God and say, Lord, now I surrender this part of my life that you revealed to me. I bring it as a sign of brokenness to your will. Jesus, open you, and joy will be the result. You can start to move right now. Don't wait. He showed you one thing. Just come to the altar. Bring that one thing and surrender it like Mary. You don't care what people think. You don't care what they're going to say about you. You're just obeying God. You're open. Remain open. This is how joy comes into our lives. Jesus opens you. He won't force it. He'll only nudge you. He'll point out something. Now it's up to you to yield, to surrender, and like Mary say, be it unto me, Lord. Be it unto me. According to your word, be it unto me. Now, if you've never been born from above, never been born again, our counselors are standing up here ready to help you settle that issue once and for all. If you'd like to talk to them about that or have questions about being born again, come up there. Let them talk with you. They'll help you, and you'll have that issue settled in your life. Jesus, open me up, Lord. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Any marriage can be healed. Any person can be delivered. Any disease can be healed. Any situation can be solved. For with God, nothing will be impossible as long as you're open. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. The altar will be open if you'd like to come.